Hi, my name's Chris Scott, and this interview was recorded for the UK Wine Show. For the latest news and terms and conditions, go to ukwineshow.co.uk. Hi, my name's Chris Scott, and I'm here with David and Richard Morris. How are you?
Yeah, good, thanks.
Good, thank you.
Excellent. We're at Anchor Vineyards again, Anchor Hill Vineyard.
Yeah.
And we're just going to talk a wee bit about biodynamics, because you're just starting to come into biodynamic production, is that right?
Yeah, so the wine that we make from this year will be fully certified by Demeter, so.
Yeah, so you're going down the Demeter's.
Yes, route.
There's a number of different certifications, isn't there?
Yeah, there's a number of different organic certifications. Biodynamic Association of the UK is Demeter.
So yeah, I always think, you know, organics I can understand. Biodynamics is a bit out there for me, but then biodynamics in England is just a bit crazy, I think. It's a bit like trying to box with hands behind
your back. I think I actually disagree. I mean, organics to me is a very, I don't want to knock any, I'm quite outspoken in my views.
Oh, be outspoken.
I find organics as a system is about what you don't use.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very negative system. To my mind, biodynamics is about what you're doing. It's very positive, very reactive. The idea that because we're not spraying chemicals, we're not doing anything is completely out. We're much more, there's much more work going on than in a normal conventional vineyard.
Yeah. Richard is quite convinced that being biodynamic will give you higher alcohol levels.
Yeah, I've come to biodynamics from a quality point of view, not from a philosophical point of view. All that side of it is something that is now organically growing and that I'm becoming more and more interested in.
Mm-hmm.
It's from a quality point of view that we've picked it.
Okay, and what do you think the big differences are? There's alcohol levels. What other things?
It's general plant health, soil health. By looking after your soil properly, it's full of microorganisms that provide all the nutrients for your vines. By looking after your soil, you're looking after all the flora and fauna in your site. You're not spraying it off, you're not killing it with any chemicals, fungicides, herbicides, insecticides. So you have a much more diverse site, and it looks after itself from the ground upwards.
I didn't see any green compost between the rows. You normally see a lot of that sort of stuff.
Yeah, it's something you have to be quite careful about. And we're constantly monitoring the soil. I don't want an organic matter content that's too high. Otherwise, we'll end up growing lots of lovely leaves and not much fruit.
Yeah.
You don't want to get into a vegetative cycle. So it's something that you only need to do occasionally where we are.
Yeah.
You know, but biodynamics for me is that's the other thing about it, is it's not prescriptive in any way, shape or form. So I do what is right for my site, and I'm the judge of it, and it's my interpretation of biodynamics. It's not.
Are you into the lunar cycle and all that sort of stuff?
Yeah, I mean, we do a fair bit, certainly with our spray rounds we do. Again, if you get too prescriptive about it and you just follow a calendar and do everything when it says to, you're not opening your eyes when you're in your vineyard, you're not ploughing the soil when the conditions are actually right to. It plays a part, but it's not the main guiding factor.
Okay. I noticed, I haven't used your privy, I think that's the closest thing, and in there there's a good book about how to kill slugs, which I thought, quick flick through that.
that's what the chickens are for, that's why.
Yeah, I did see there's a lot of confident chickens around.
Yeah.
They weren't afraid of me, that's for sure.
No, but it's good to have their egos in the vineyard, as well as they're that extra sort of level up from the smaller insects. And
are they there to take out the slugs, are they? Or?
Yeah. They keep the balance of everything else. It's about keeping a balance on all the different levels. So that's very important.
And is there any other predator insects or animals you use? Because some people talk about releasing certain...
No. Again, by not affecting the natural balance of things, by adding chemicals into the system, then it can look after itself.
No, I was thinking more predator...
Yeah, but that's what I mean. We don't have to, because we haven't killed off our predator insect population, then the population of everything else is kept in check.
Mm-hmm.
So like last year, for example, we had a lot of aeranose mites present on one section of Chardonnay. But on every single vine, there was a huge number of ladybird eggs being laid. I didn't see one blistered leaf all year. So, you know, it's because that predator population is already there. All the natural plants growing in the vineyard as well for them to live on, for whatever else that they have a symbiotic relationship to live on. And so you're not affecting that. So you don't need to interfere with it.
So traditional chemical farming is going to diminish the number of user-friendly predators like ladybirds that you've got, because the chemicals will just kill them over a period of time.
Yeah. No, it's true. Although I don't use any chemicals in my garden. Not that I have a big garden, and I still get swamped by aphids, and there's never enough ladybirds around.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think my garden might technically be biodynamic because I've never done anything in it, but apart from weeding, but I still get lots of aphids and things like that.
Yeah. It's not easy. You know, some years are more difficult than others, obviously. But I think last year, talking to lots of people in the industry, I think we fared as well or better than most. So, and we used less sulfur and less copper than the year before. So,
what about things like powdery mildew and down?
We had a small infection of downy mildew last year, right at the end of the season. So we didn't lose any fruit. Just sort of retarded maturation of the Pinot a little bit.
Yeah.
But every disease has got a reason why it's there. You can't get rid of it. You know, powdery and downy mildew exist. They're all around us all the time.
Yeah.
So it's only if you let it get a foothold because of your cultural practices that you have a problem. And if you end up having to use more and more chemicals year on year on year on year, then you're going to get bigger and bigger problems.
Yeah, okay.
But our biodynamic sprays also help control.
We do a lot of work on plant health. Spraying every 10 days. So.
Yeah, we tried your Pinot Noir, and Rich was saying that there's a herby note to it. It's not like a nasty herby note, but he seemed to think it was coming from maybe some of the
tisanes.
Yeah, what is it, tisane?
Well, we use one main tisane, which is herbal tea, I suppose.
What's tisane?
Tisane is French for tea.
Oh, okay.
And the recipes I used were all learnt in France, so the main one that we use is a blend of 16 different plants, herbs and plants, which we brew over a 24-hour period at a certain temperature to extract everything that we want from it, and that's sprayed on the vines at least every 10 days.
Mm-hmm.
And it's full of trace micronutrients, and lots of them have got a very medicinal background as traditional remedies, so it's also fighting disease as well.
So we use willow, for example, which is its main ingredient is something called salicylic acid, which is the main ingredient of aspirin.
Okay.
So that's a good example in helping prevent disease.
And you're going to be doing the winemaking from next year, and there is no biodynamic winemaking processes, is it?
There is a guideline now for
Bidemeter for
winemaking. 2010.
Oh, so I'm behind the times.
Yeah, but it does tend to be more. There are things about what additions, if any, that you can make. But it also goes as far as, you know, sort of not using plastic tanks and things like that.
Yeah.
Try and use as many natural materials as possible and as few interventions as possible.
Richard said you're going to not even use stainless steel, you're going to use concrete eggs, is that right?
Yeah, yeah, we'll use a bit of stainless steel for bottling, but all fermentation will take place in large oak barrels or concrete eggs, concrete tanks.
Why the eggs? I know they're quite trendy amongst organic producers and all that at the moment, but...
Well, the eggs are good for if you want the same effect as using a barrel but without any oak tannin pickup, because it's a porous material, so it lets air in, so you work on the redox.
There's of reduction the wine. Oxidation.
Yeah. But also with the egg, because of the shape of it, you've got constant movement inside, so it's constantly moving on its lees, which again allows you to use less.
Why is it constantly moving?
Because of the shape of the egg, you actually get a movement, a vortex in it, during fermentation.
Oh, okay. Is that just because the heat of it, heating being generated?
Yeah, and the shape. So obviously stirring on its lees constantly means you don't need as much sulfur in there because...
Yeah, it's reductive, isn't it?
So, and you get, you know, and then you obviously get the beneficial pickup of, you know, of a wine being on its lees as well.
I think
flavour profiles and...
There's a bit of a controversy at the moment about those eggs, isn't there? About someone copying someone's designs or...
Yeah, I think it was Michel Chapoutier. I think he actually got somebody to design and build it, and then they've since carried on. So, yeah, there is a bit. I mean, they're good.
Are you going to get them from there, or are you going to get them?
Yeah, we're probably going to get non-blow ones, yeah. Quite a good price.
And you've used them in Roussillon,
haven't you?
So we know they work.
Okay. Concrete eggs, eh?
Well, as a blending component, I mean, we're not going to do lots of it. The idea is to use neutral materials, so oak and concrete. I say concrete, they're called hot concrete in French. They actually don't have any cement in.
Oh, yeah, I was going to say cement.
And so they're neutral materials. They're going to be small batch fermentations, so you don't have to cool them down. You don't have to heat them up. They're thermally neutral, especially in the building that we're going to be building. So... again, it's just about not intervening in the wine.
Do you think you'll get better quality wines coming through? I know you probably believe that, but...
It'd be a change of style.
Yeah.
But, for instance, we're just disgorging now 2009 version of the sparkling Sauvignon Blanc that you tried earlier, which was 100% barrel fermented, not filtered, not fined, stirred on its lees. And... The aroma profile is just incredible.
Yeah, that's good.
And we're not using any dosage with it, are we?
No,
it doesn't need
zero
it.
Dosage.
Oh, okay. Because yeah, the Sauvignon Blanc was quite nice. It's got a nice linear acidity through it.
Yeah.
But it was rich enough. You know, it wasn't piercing. You know, I must admit, I was a wee bit nervous about your wines on the way out, thinking what they were going to be like, but they're pretty good in terms of the acidity levels and things like that.
So, no, I mean, I think we'll have, I hope we'll have better quality wines, certainly more natural wines.
I'll let you get back to your vineyard. You're doing winter pruning at the moment, aren't you?
Tying down. We finished tying all down. The pruning.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sap's just started rising, so it's they're nice and malleable, so.
Yeah. That's it. Years ago, when I was a student, I was in a gang that was doing... window pruning, worst job I've ever done.
It
completely put me off working in a vineyard. You know, just your leg, feet were blocks of cement, you know, frozen, absolutely frozen by about 10 o'clock in the morning, and you had a whole day to go.
It's actually my favourite time of the year.
Is it?
Yeah, I think I love being outside when it's...
It's lovely today, but when it's really cold... I remember when you got those big hydraulic secateurs.
Yeah.
I always worried that you'd chop your finger off and not be aware of it, because your hands are so cold. It always bothered me. All right, excellent. Well, thank you very much, David.
Cheers, thanks.
Cheers.